Golden State Media Concepts bring you the Bible Study Podcast. Reflect and journey the Bible as together we study God's Word and be inspired. Bible study made fun and informative for all ages. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast.
Welcome to the GSMC Bible Study Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Sarah, and we are finally in Advent. You know, I've been talking about it and talking about it, saying we're coming up on Advent. We're almost done with the green season, and now it's finally here. So let's just go ahead and jump in. We're going to do it a little bit differently this week, maybe the weeks going forward. I'm just going to read all four lessons for you and then do some commentary on them after that. So we start with the Old Testament reading from Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 14 through 16. "The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called: The Lord is our righteousness." And that is the first lesson for this first Sunday of Advent. Again, it is Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 14 through 16. The psalm for today comes from Psalm 25, verses 1 through 10. "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be put to shame. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Do not let those who wait for you be put to shame. Let them be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me, for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his decrees." Again, that is our psalm assigned for this week. It is Psalm 25, verses 1 through 10. And we move right along. I'll just make a quick aside and say, I love so many of the assigned readings for Advent. You know, Advent is that season when we point toward the coming of Christ. Not only Christ's birth, that original coming into the world, but Christ's coming into the world again. The light coming into the darkness, and we anticipate that coming into the world. We're always anticipating that coming into the world, not just when we celebrate Christ's birth on Christmas, but we celebrate again the shift in our relationship with God. And there are just so many beautiful passages that we read, and the passages for today are no exception. Hopefully you heard some of that Advent beauty in both Jeremiah and the psalm. Our third reading then moves us to the New Testament, and that is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 9 through 13. "How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we feel before our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you face to face and restore whatever is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, just as we abound in love for you. And may he so strengthen your hearts in holiness that you may be blameless before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all of his saints. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 9 through 13. And then that brings us to the gospel reading for this week. And the gospel reading comes to us from Luke. We have now, as I mentioned, have been mentioning, once we start Advent, we start a new church year. New Year's is still a few weeks away, according to the calendar, but the church year starts with the first Sunday of Advent. So we move into year C. It's a three-year cycle, and the assigned gospel readings come from Matthew, Mark, or Luke, and then with supplemental readings from the Gospel of John. So now we've moved into year C, which is the Lucan year. We read a lot from the Gospel of Luke. So we start off this year with a reading from the Gospel of Luke. It is chapter 21, 25 through 36. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then Jesus told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap, for it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. And this is the Gospel of our Lord from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, verses 25 through 36. And I said just a few minutes ago how I love so many of the Advent texts because they do have that sense of joy and anticipation. But one thing that Advent also has is some pretty scary texts, because it's a little strange because we are anticipating Christ coming into the world, but we are still reading from the Gospels. And so we're still reading from Jesus's life. So we're anticipating Jesus's birth at Christmas. We're anticipating Jesus coming into the world. And at the same time, we're reading Christ's words in the Gospels. And so it can be a little, maybe feel a little bit like whiplash sometimes when you're like, wait, what? Jesus as a baby, Jesus as an adult, Jesus talking about eschatology, which is, you know, things that are coming in the future and the end times. There are a lot of end times texts in Advent, which both make sense to me and also always makes me go, ah, that's just a little strange. But at this point in his ministry, whatever gospel we're reading from, Jesus is trying to prepare his disciples for what is to come. We are preparing for the celebration of Jesus' birth. We are preparing for the coming of Jesus' light into the darkness of the world, the sending of God's gift to us. Jesus is preparing his disciples for what is to come that they can't quite grasp in terms of what it means that Jesus is the Messiah. They still haven't quite figured it out. And so Jesus is trying to tell them, he's trying to speak to them in parables, of course, about things that they can understand. In this case today, he's talking about the fig tree. You know, when you see a fig tree with its leaves in a certain state, you know that summer isn't far off. You know that the changing of the seasons happen. Well, there are other signs to look for. Well, that can get confusing and scary when we try to read these texts now and we're like, I see these signs everywhere. Does that mean it's the end times? Well, we have to figure these things out in context, and we have to look at what Jesus was saying then, look at our world now, knowing that we're still waiting, right? And most of Jesus' followers expected Jesus to come back in their lifetime. And it's been 2,000 years now, give or take. So how do we take Jesus' words, and how do we continue to have patience and faith in that waiting? We have to take our first break of the podcast, but when we come back, we'll be talking more about these texts. So stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Bible Study Podcast, and I will be right back.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's gsmcpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the GSMC Bible Study Podcast. On this first Sunday of Advent, we've just read all of the texts assigned for today and had a bit of differences. I mean, to me, someone who loves Advent and who has studied, and I'm not trying to say I've studied and you haven't, no, just as someone who has studied and been made very aware of the lectionary cycle. That's kind of the way my brain works after seminary and then being in the church, etc. My brain thinks in lectionary cycles. But the texts all say Advent to me, and I can definitely see, even if I didn't know it was Advent for some reason, I don't know, I wake up from a really, really long, maybe I'm in hibernation. That's awesome. You know, I went to hibernate for a while, and I wake up and I hear these texts and I'm like, hey, it's Advent. Advent is, as I've said probably a million times, and you're sick of hearing it, is my favorite season of the church year. And not just because the liturgical color is blue, which is my favorite color, that's part of it, but I love the quiet, contemplative nature of this season. I love the excitement and the expectation that are built into it, into the season, as we await the coming of Christ. Many of you may have Advent calendars or do other things that mark the passage of time. And as a kid, I loved the Advent wreath. I loved watching those candles be lit every Sunday. This is the first Sunday of Advent, so we only light one candle. But then each week, as more candles get lit, we get closer and closer. Or as you open the little window on your Advent calendar, or my mom has an Advent tree that she made. It's in the shape of a Christmas tree. And each day in December, then the kids get to put on a little ornament on that tree until it's Christmas. There's so many different versions of Advent calendars that you can do. But this first week of Advent has the theme of hope attached to it. Many of you may know that each week in Advent has a theme: hope, joy, peace, etc. And this is hope. The texts for today, maybe or maybe not, maybe they do or maybe they do not scream hope to you. We get dire warnings. We get predictions with apocalyptic imagery, as I was saying before the break. And so it starts with that reading from Jeremiah, a reading that is difficult to read in anything but a messianic light, with its prophecy of a righteous branch springing up from David. We who know the end of the story kind of know what that points to, but that's why it's chosen for this first week in Advent, because it looks forward to the coming of the Messiah, which is what we too, of course, are doing. And it's worth noting, though, that the circumstances in which the prophecy was first spoken and first heard, the promises here were spoken to address a dire situation. the armies of Nebuchadnezzar, who was king of Babylon, were advancing on Jerusalem. The worst has not yet happened, but it's inevitable. And that's the situation that we're reading these words. Any reasonable person would be able to see that the city was doomed. In fact, Jeremiah's many prophecies of doom and judgment are now coming true as you're reading through the book of Jeremiah. But instead of saying, I told you so, I've been telling you so, you haven't been paying attention to me, and now look what's happening, he could very easily have said, I told you so, in the midst of catastrophe. But instead, the prophet finally speaks words of promise. Jeremiah is surprising in this section, in the verses we read today, because in the previous chapter, in the face of sure disaster, the prophet buys a piece of land, which was an incredibly foolish, maybe crazy thing to do in a country that was soon to be conquered by invading armies, right? Nevertheless, he purchased the land as a pledge, as a sign of God's redemption. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall again be bought in this land. Hope. Things are going really, really badly, and yet Jeremiah buys land as a sign and a promise of hope. In the midst of this impending doom, the prophet carries out a sign of hope. And now in chapter 33, the prophet doesn't gloat about being right or speak of further disasters to come, but instead speaks of the coming restoration, the restoration of normal, everyday life. And in the verses that we read today, Jeremiah speaks not only of the restoration of everyday life, but also the restoration of one of the main signs of God's favor. And that is the restoration of the Davidic line, the line of David that's been promised. That's where the Messiah will come from. With the exile to Babylon, God's promises seemed to come to an end. The Babylonians destroyed David's city, they burned Solomon's temple, and they took David's heirs into exile. To a people devastated by loss, then, Jeremiah's prophecy offered them hope. All might have seemed lost, but God was and is still faithful. And God's promises still held true for them. God's promises still hold true for us. The house of David might have been cut down, but God is able to bring life out of death. And a branch will sprout up from what seemed like a dead stump. God can make even that happen. So when taken in this context, we can definitely see the hope that is present in these verses in Jeremiah. But the gospel text still doesn't scream Advent hope to me. What we do well to remember about the season of Advent is that while it is one of hope and joy, and it is a time when we look forward to this, to celebrating the birth of Jesus as the light of the world, Advent is also a season that challenges our sense of time. So Advent, as I was saying before, looks forward in a couple of ways. Of course, it looks forward to Christmas and the birth of Jesus, but it also looks forward to that time when Jesus returns, when we will look for the Son of Man appearing in the clouds. And Luke is writing to an audience who was expecting Jesus's return soon, most likely in their lifetime. And so there's this great sense of expectation and hope among the people to whom Luke is writing. Luke reminds the community that they need to be alert and watchful for that time when Jesus, when Christ the Messiah will return. And their sense of expectancy shouldn't dull or dim as they wait. There's a lot of these be alert, waiting kind of passages that we read during Advent. Once again, though, we have Jesus painting what could be considered disturbing images of an apocalyptic end. Not always helpful, right? Where Jeremiah's words give hope in the face of disaster, Luke's words seem depressing in the face of a hopeful future, right? Here, Luke is writing to this community that is looking forward with expectation to Jesus' coming, and yet he is telling them the story of when of Jesus preparing his disciples. And it can be, as I said, it can be feel a little bit like whiplash when we're like, ah, hope apocalypse, hope dire warnings. We are going to take our second break of the podcast on that note of dire warnings. But when we come back, we'll be wrapping up talking about the text assigned for this first Sunday of Advent. So stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Bible Study Podcast, and I will be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Bible Study Podcast, and hope, along with dire warnings. Excellent place to end and take a break, don't you think? But after that ending, or that segue, or break, I don't know what that was. After that, it wasn't exactly foreshadowing, it wasn't exactly a cliffhanger, but after that leaving off and going to break, I will come back from break and say there is hope and encouragement in Luke's words. There are. The community is reminded that no matter what is happening in their lives, no matter what is happening in the world around them, the community, the newly formed Christian community, or a lot of them are still Jewish, a lot of them were Gentiles, but what we came to know as what would become the Christian community needed to remain steadfast in its ministry, needed to trust that Jesus would provide the necessary words and inspiration so that they might witness to the gospel through word and deed and prayer in any and all situations. Jeremiah's words remind us to have hope in the midst of overwhelming circumstances. And I think Luke's words remind us that even though waiting can be a challenge, nobody really likes to wait, right? Even though waiting can be a challenge, how we wait can provide us with hope and reminders of God's presence during that waiting time. Regardless of what we might make of Jesus' words and description of his return, it's hard to miss the sense of expectation that his words evoke. The disciples are told to wait and watch for signs. And as I already said, here we are 2,000 years later, give or take, and we're still waiting. But do we do so with less anticipation or expectation? Maybe. I mean, it's kind of hard to have that same level of expectation and anticipation that people would have had when they expected Jesus to return very quickly. And yet, they didn't know when Jesus would return. We don't know when Jesus would return. So how do we wait with eagerness and anticipation? Do we watch at all for Jesus, even during this season of Advent, when we're reminded that that's what we're supposed to be doing? The early Christians that Luke was writing to needed to be reminded that even though they were waiting expectantly for something, they figured it would happen any day. they were to still have hope in their expectation, and they were still to remember that God's promises hold true no matter what was going on, what their situation entailed. And our circumstances may or may not be different, but our need for hope is no less. We need hope in our daily lives just to get through sometimes. We might have the opposite problem. You know, the early Christians had so much expectation, and we may have the opposite problem of not enough expectation. You know, I'm not saying we should sit and worry that Luke's apocalyptic imagery is going to come true, but how much expectation do we even have, even in the midst of Advent, even in the midst of waiting for Christmas, of knowing of Christ's presence in our lives? During Advent, we celebrate Jesus as the coming light. We light candles each week to remind ourselves that Jesus came into the world as light in the darkness. There's a line from a hymn, a Tezé hymn, that says, "Our darkness is never darkness in your sight. The deepest night is as clear as the daylight. There is our hope, no matter what the season, that God sends Jesus to be light to our darkness, even now." When we talk about light in the darkness, we talk about the fulfilling of God's promises, because God sending Jesus into the world was creating that new covenant, right? We talk about that during baptism. We talk about that during communion. There is the fulfillment of God's promises. And we know that we are beloved children of God. We know that nothing can separate us from the love that God has for us, or from the promises that God has made to us. But we still have to live in a world that is broken, and that often seems so much worse than what we would like to see. But God's promises give us hope. We have hope in knowing that in all things God is with us. And we have the expectation in knowing that someday God will make all things new again. Being children of God, having received those promises from God, gives us hope, and also reminds us that we don't just sit back and wait. We don't sit in despair and do nothing because things seem hopeless, nor do we sit and do nothing because nothing can separate us from God's love, and so we just are like, well, I don't have to do anything, right? Advent as a season reminds us that God came into the world to dwell among us, and that the promises of God are inside each and every one of us. Christ is incarnate in each and every one of us. The light that comes into the darkness is present within each and every one of us. Our waiting then should be full of hope, but it should also involve our doing God's work with our own hands, sharing God's love, sharing God's hope, sharing God's promises with our neighbors so that others may experience God as well. I read something today, I think it was today, doesn't matter, it was recently. Someone said that their pastor had said in a sermon that you may be the only scripture someone reads. They might not read scripture, but they might see your actions. They might see you doing God's work in the world. You might be the only scripture that people encounter in their lives. And so as we light candles during this season of Advent, and as that first candle reminds us, now is the time when we wait and watch for God's presence. But we don't do so in an idle fashion. We don't just wait and watch. You know, as anyone knows, waiting is harder when you're not doing anything, right? When you just sit there and stare at the clock. Being idle does not help your patience in that situation. We don't sit and in idleness during Advent. Rather, we live out our baptismal promises, the promises made to us as children of God, by experiencing God's presence in everything that we do, and then sharing that presence with everyone that we meet. So as you're waiting through this season of Advent, I want to say blessed Advent to you. I want to say blessings to you on this time of waiting as we, Advent is this quiet contemplative season, and yet it takes place in the midst of the craziness of Christmas, right? The world has already turned to Christmas. They are fast forward pell-mell toward the 25th, and the secular world doesn't really know about Advent. We get the joy of sitting in the Advent promises, and this week it is Advent hope. So that is my hope for you, is that you can take some time this week to sit with that Advent promise of hope and reflect on what it means to you to know that Christ is the light in our darkness. Thank you so much for joining me. Please join me again next time when we move on, of course, to more Advent. And in the meantime, as you're sitting and waiting in hope, please do remember that you are a beautiful and beloved child of God. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.